The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
It is Sunday, June 5th, 2011, if you're listening live. And, of course, it's not if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today I have some interesting things I'd like to talk about. At least I think they're interesting. And some people would find them a little bit weird, but if you're listening to me, you're used to weird, or you probably experience a lot of weird in your life compared to what normal folk experience out there in the world. But I'd like now, as we begin, to bring all the weird together into the community. So reach out, open your heart, and allow yourself to feel the connections that are out there, the community who are listening to the show today, who are participating in some way with us, reach out to allow yourself to experience your connection with our Mother Earth. Open up and reach out to experience the connection to the guides and angels, the teachers that we have out there. Allow that presence to be with you. And reach out and expand to connect with the community of all the light workers, all the healers, all of those who are seeking for a higher, more divine experience while we're still here in body and working in some way or another, consciously or even unconsciously, to make that happen for humanity, for planet Earth, for all the experiences that are possible down here. All right, breathe that in. That feels pretty good to expand out into that, to connect with that. So thank you for joining me in doing that. Today I would like to talk about something that was brought up briefly when I had my second guest on, BJ King, and that's the topic of walk-ins. But to talk about walk-ins, I have to talk about a lot of other concepts here, so it's going to be soul stew that we're going to make today. We're going to talk about a lot of the ways in which different people have put forth that soul interacts with the physical dimension, and especially with the physical dimension as we're going through what, again, if you're a light worker, you probably have some belief about the change, the transformation that's taking place now on the planet, and the shifting, again, terminologies, whether it's from the Piscean Age into the Aquarian Age, whether it's from the Mayan calendar ending at this point and starting a new set of cycles on into the future, whether it is some other version of what that looks like. There's a tremendous amount of shifting going on right now. And walk-ins, although they perhaps have been around for a lot longer than that, seem to be much more prevalent in the last 30 or 40 years. That's when they've been talked about. That's when the concept has been brought up. And I imagine some of you out there who've not heard that term before, other than on the barbershop where it says walk-ins welcome, which those of us who are walk-ins always like those signs. Going through a random town and we get a sign that's welcoming us. If you don't know that term, let me give a basic definition as I understand it to be. And I'm going to give a number of names and books and other information here today for any of you who might be interested in this, who might be interested in exploring this further or finding out if you are one, etc. But the basic definition of a walk-in is a being who has experienced an exchange of souls. Now, that's a kind of a weird concept in many ways, because we tend to have this attachment to our definition of ourselves as I am my body, I am my name, I am my personality, I am these things. And that's one of our problems, actually, is we limit ourselves in that way and we get stuck with this smaller version of ourselves as who we perceive ourselves to be, which is part of what we're trying to move through to get into that experience of our expanded self, our soul self, our divine self, and allow that experience to be what we have down here while we're in a body, or as I think is a better way to describe it, while we are expressing through our body, through our mental body, through our emotional body. We are, in some ways, and I'm going to use analogies today, I think, as I typically do, but as with any analogy I'm going to offer for any topic, they always have a limit to how much they can apply. So in one way of looking at this, if you think of any individual, any person that you can name, you have a name, you have a body, you have a personality over there, and you imagine that to be like a computer. It's got its hardware, it's, you know, you've got the physical body, it's got the software, the processing patterns, that's the mental body, the emotional body, the senses, etc. That, again, not a perfect analogy already, but there is an energy. And this, in many ways, is how people came to the concept of soul in the first place, is that something disappears at the moment of death, and that causes that body to no longer be able to walk around and talk and laugh and dance and sing and cry and all the rest of the things that we get to do as our bodies. And so, in many ways, we can look at a person like a computer and a soul like that electricity flowing in to animate it. Now, it's more complicated than that because, as far as I'm concerned, what the soul energy coming through is going to be distinct and is absolutely going to affect how what comes out of that person or what expresses as that person. So, unlike the electricity flowing into the computer, which is standardized, the soul energy coming in to express through the body is unique and individual. So that's going to be a very major difference here. But the reason I bring this analogy up to start with is that in the same way that you can unplug a computer from one power source and plug it in somewhere else, and it's going to, at least if the power source is working, it's going to function, you can unplug a soul from the body, from the personality, from the mental body, from the emotional body, etc., and plug another soul into it, and it will function. And again, with electricity, it's the same source, it's the same electricity. And with us, well, we're all source at the highest level, but it's a different expression. So maybe we need to take that computer to another country, over to Europe or something, where it doesn't fit the same outlet that we have here in the U.S. And so there's a difference that has to be dealt with in order to re-empower the computer, the human, when the new energy comes through, or in order to allow the new energy to come through. If you would take a deep breath with me, I would appreciate that. Wonderful. So, why does this matter? Why does this matter at all? What use is knowing about this topic, this term, walk-ins or soul exchanges is another common term for it. Well, one of the values of having a walk-in experience occur is that, well, when someone comes into a body, when a soul comes into a body through the birth canal, through going through the pregnancy and the body all developing and the soul's hanging out there, not necessarily inhabiting, but hanging out and helping to guide and shape the experiences that are going to create their home, the home body for the time that they're living here. The first thing that happens is you come out, and the part of you that is soul is suddenly confronted with not being in charge, not being able to do what you want to do. You can't communicate clearly. Well, as much as we might be psychic as souls coming in, most of the adults around us aren't listening anyway. So the best you can do is cry, which is pretty poor in terms of being able to directly express, I want food now, I need to be held, I need to be changed, I need this, I need that. And so there is this shutting down of the awareness of our divinity that takes place as we come out into the world through birth. And that shutting down is then the process that we're essentially reversing as we walk on a spiritual path. We learn these patterns, we step into these beliefs about what the world is like and what aspects of it are safe and what aspects of it are not safe and how do we need to protect ourselves and how do we need to find our value and all of these other issues that we have that are at the core, as I've said before and I will say many, many times again, only one issue. The only issue we have on planet Earth is that we do not experientially remember our divinity. To the degree that we open and reclaim that experience of our divinity, that's the degree to which the problems in our life dissolve. And we become more conscious co-creators, we become more empowered, we become more serene, we become more at peace, we become automatically healers for ourselves and others on the planet. And so that's the only issue. And that issue of feeling separate from divinity is what gets, it's by choice. We come in as soul by choice, but that experience of separation is what gets wrapped around us with our baby blankets. That's what gets put on us with our diapers. That's what gets fed to us with our food. And so when a walk-in occurs, when a soul finishes in a body and another soul comes in to replace it and take over, well, I'll give you a funny image here. At least it's funny to me. It's kind of like tag team wrestling. You've got the one wrestler in there and they're fighting and one of them, again, the analogy is not perfect. One of them gets tired or they feel done or they want to take a rest so that they can get new strength to come back in and fight again another day. They go tag their partner in the corner and the partner comes in and takes over the mission of fighting that other guy. And so in some ways, although again, all the imagery of conflict there, except that we do experience conflict down here in the body, it's not the point. But that image of the exchange that takes place and someone else comes in and they step into our shoes, they step into our life, they step into the name, they step into the personality, they step into the relationships and continue on where the soul that left off. Now, that seems like a straightforward thing. And again, I'm getting more and more toward what's the point of walk-ins. Well, the first thing is right there. That soul coming in to a body that is not an infant, that has not, is not just coming into life out of the mother, that body has already walked back to some degree through the course of life toward self-awareness and toward self-empowered choice. That body, that personality, that being that is of the walkout soul has already made that movement. And when the new soul comes in, when the soul exchange takes place and the walk-in comes in, that walk-in does not have to go through all of that forgetfulness again. So they can get to their work a little bit faster. And again, I'll talk further about that, because at the same time, our work isn't what most of us have defined it to be. But the first point there is that by not having to go through that forgetfulness of coming out of the birth canal and into complete helplessness, we can make our conscious choices faster. We can get to what we're here, what we feel we're here to do more quickly, etc., than we do when we are going through the birth canal. Now, many people out there I know, because I've worked with a lot of them, a lot of you perhaps, they feel like literally time is running out, that there's this urgency to get things done, to make the changes that need to take place so that the world can get to where it needs to be, so the change can occur, so et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ah, all this breathlessness. Well, I believe we're in divine timing and everything is happening as it should, but when should, wow, I can't believe I actually used that word. Everything is happening and unfolding according to the co-creative agreements that we as soul have put together down here. Including agreements with Mother Earth. So, let me take a step forward here again and look at what the walk-ins, why this seems to be more prevalent now. Well, it is because it is a time of greater change. And because the walk-in soul is not as forgetful or doesn't have to forget as much of that connection with divinity, because they're coming into something that's an energetic system, a body system, a human system that has already awakened into being able to make choices, etc. They can bring, the walk-in soul can bring more of their divinity into expression more quickly. And in fact, one of the things that marks a walk-in as a walk-in to me is almost the degree of the sense of urgency that they have in getting on with their spiritual awakening. That becomes the number one priority. Now, that's certainly not the only way it happens, and there's a number of other things that I want to talk about here to make the comparisons as to why this might be a walk-in or it might be something else, experience. But that's one of the primary pieces that was true for me and the majority of walk-ins I know, is that sense of urgency. Spirituality shoots with a bullet up to number one. Personal healing shoots to a bullet up to number one. They become the priorities. And it's not that everything else falls away, although there are some walk-ins who have trouble dealing with the life that they stepped into. And I'll get to that in a minute as well. But the overwhelming urge is that movement forward of self-empowerment is perhaps the best way I can look at it or talk about it. And so, well, let me talk about a couple of other ways that some people might describe the beginning of knowing that you might be a walk-in, or actually exploring that as a question. But before I do that, I do want to say one thing, that unfortunately, for the egos, some of what has been presented about walk-ins, especially early on in the 70s, the 80s, gave walk-ins this aura of supermen and women coming here to save the rest of us. And nothing could be further from the truth. We're all in this together. And the walk-ins those of us who are walk-ins, those of us who know walk-ins, the walk-ins are simply, as I said, often more urgently pushed to do their spiritual work and expose their divinity to the world. But that doesn't make walk-ins more important than anybody else, better than anybody else, or even more powerful than anybody else. It just makes them more driven than anybody else, and even that's not always true. But I just want to put that out there, because as I go through some of the reference materials that I'm going to bring up today, I want to point that out. And it's not that people were trying to make it seem that way or trying to put walk-ins on a pedestal. There was truly a sense of wonder about it and a sense of amazement that here were these souls coming in to do this hard work and they were going to fix everything. Well, if you go back and read some channeling from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you're also going to find people talking about, you know, all the spaceships arriving to take those of us who were done with the limitations of planet Earth off Earth. And it was, you know, the space age version of the rapture, where the good get to go and the rest who don't quite get it or who are evil or bad get stuck behind dealing with the crap that's left over. And I don't believe that's true, but some of the stuff around walk-ins has that energy to it. And one of my firm beliefs about truth as it is unfolding on the planet is that it's not that truth itself is evolving, but as we awaken more and more as individuals and in the energy of the mass consciousness, the truth that we are able to hold, the truth that we are able to connect with, expands. And so, again, it's not that you go back and all of the things from the old religions are wrong. It's that every bit of truth that has ever come through humanity to humanity has limitations placed on it by the expectations of the group. And so I'm going to go back to, I don't know, maybe I talked about this in the first thing, the wiggle room. We not only have individual personal wiggle room, the concepts that we can grasp, they're not quite what we're ready to own yet, but we can conceptually think about them and gradually open up into them as part of our core truth. And then we have those concepts that are outside of that reality. Well, as the awakening of humanity is occurring, the wiggle room for humanity as a whole is expanding as well. And that, in many ways, is what we as lightworkers are here to do. Our personal wiggle room is bigger than the wiggle room of humanity as a whole. And so as we expand out into that larger truth, because we're part of humanity, what we are doing is expanding the wiggle room for humanity as a whole. So I don't mean to belittle any of this information or those who brought it through before either. It's not that it was wrong. It was brought through at the level and to the degree that was the best that could be brought through at that time, with the limitations of each person and the limitations of mass consciousness as a whole that were shaping what was the wiggle room at that time. So again, that's another important concept when you're looking at old spiritual teachings, old spiritual writings, etc. Understand that you may need to update it, to apply it differently, to see how it fits now. What's the truth of that now? What's the expanded version of that older truth, if there is one? Some truth is eternal, and it came through in that way, and it came through at that level of perfection, because in that aspect, in that area, we as humanity, in whatever time frame that truth came in, we were ready to hear it as the truth. And so we got the biggest possible piece of the picture right away. But anyway, that I want to give as a bit of perspective here before I get to any of those resource materials and send you to them. And you might go look at them and go, well, I don't really resonate with all of that. Well, that's fine. Please use your discernment on anything I suggest. I certainly have. There are things that I don't take just as the gospel because I'm reading them and it's about walk-ins or whatever the other topic might be. So back to the question of, well, let's put it this way. I kind of like the, what's his name? Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck if. You might be a walk-in if. Suddenly, at some point in your life, you wake up one day and everything in your life simply seems alien, like you don't fit there anymore. Essentially, you look around you and go, whose stuff is this? One way to look at that, again, is a sudden change in your taste, your clothing, your habits, your friends, your relationships. Suddenly you wake up and the people that you couldn't stand the day before are the ones you want to hang out with, and the people that you spent all your time with before, you don't want to be anywhere near. So that's another way to look at this. You might be a walk-in if you often wonder, what planet am I from? Because I certainly don't seem to be from around here. you might be a walk-in if you often wonder of your friends and family, what planet are they from? They just don't quite get you, and you just don't quite get them. Another category here. You might be a walk-in if you suddenly awaken with a deep desire to dramatically change your self-expression, your jobs, toward doing service for humanity. Again, these are all possible ways in which you might look and find out if there's any need or use to question, am I a walk-in or not? Now, again, let's come back to, well, what use is it to know if you're a walk-in? Well, I can give my personal experience as the best example I have to give, because it's my personal experience. Back in 94, after I got out of massage school, one of my co-students in the massage school, he and his girlfriend, et cetera, they were going to a weekly meditation at this woman's house, and they invited me along. So I went along, and one of the things that we were doing before we went to do the meditation, we actually were practicing using a pendulum for dowsing. For those of you who don't know what that is, a pendulum essentially can be anything hanging from a string that is weighted, so that there's a weight at the end of the string. And then you use that to ask some level within your own energy field, your divinity, your guides, angels, etc., for answers about questions that you might have. It is one way to connect with higher guidance. As with any way to connect with higher guidance, whether that is going to another person to receive a channeling or a healing, whether that is using a deck of tarot, whatever it might be, it's not the answer. I know that some people, I find it interesting, they talk in these terms and say, well, my pendulum told me. No. Your pendulum was like the radio station that received the information as clearly as you could allow it through. But the pendulum itself is not doing any talking. Anyway, that's my personal opinion for those who talk to their pendulums. Anyway, she was teaching us pendulum dowsing to practice that. And each week we would come in and she would talk about some sort of a spiritual topic for 5, 10, 15 minutes or whatever. And then we would use the topic that she had discussed as the source of the questions that we would ask using the pendulum to see what answers we got. And then we would discuss the answers to, again, clarify how clearly we were open and how clearly we were receiving answers in that way. So one week, not too far into this, maybe a month or so into this, she brought up the topic of walk-ins. And it's not, at that point, a concept I believe I had ever even heard before. And she started talking about the soul exchanges and the sense of alienness that can often accompany them, not fitting in. Again, the square peg in a round hole sort of thing, or the, I'll leave it at that. Anyway, and it had a connection to me. I guess now I would use the term, it resonated with me. And we went on, she talked about it for however long she talked about it, and then, again, she brought up the questions of related to the topic. And one of those was, are there any walk-ins in this group? If so, how many? If so, who are they? And so we got to work, and there were other questions, of course, but we got to work with doing our pendulum dowsing, and I was very clear. I mean, I knew, again, I had that resonance, so I knew before I did the dowsing that I was one. I certainly didn't know about anybody else in the group, but I definitely knew that I was one. And the confirmation was there. That's one good way to use the pendulum. But then what was fascinating for me, as a now self-defined walk-in, whatever the heck that meant, was that everyone in the group had gotten the same answer, that there was one walk-in in the group and that walk-in was me. And so I don't know that I've ever had more direct, concrete confirmation from a group more quickly about anything else in my life. That was, okay, here's a new topic. Within, you know, the first few minutes, I'm feeling like it's true for me. I go in and ask specifically, is it true for me, and get a definite yes response. So I've got that level of confirmation. And then I've got this group of 8 or 10 other people who are giving the exact same confirmation to me at that time. You know, within 20 minutes of arriving at this person's house, I'm walking out with an entirely different concept of myself. Now, in many ways, that's what a walk-in experience is like. Now, I wasn't having my walk-in experience in that moment. But again, that waking up and suddenly the whole world looks different, things don't fit the way they used to, it's interesting. Now, for me, again, it answered some questions because I had felt that. I had felt that sense of, I just don't fit. It doesn't seem to matter what I do or where I go or who I'm with. I don't seem to fit. Now, the closest fit I had found up to that point was with the people who were on enough of a spiritual path or enough of a healing path to go through massage school. And some of those people are still very, very good friends of mine. And we've continued to keep in touch and grow together, etc. But this awakening of this concept of myself as a walk-in began an exploration that really ultimately brought me to where I am right now, sitting here talking to you on this radio show. Because as my work expanded through massage therapy very quickly into doing hands-on healing work, and then not long after that into doing the channeling that is one of the core components of the work that I offer, side by side with that was a further exploration of this concept of walk-ins and finding and meeting more and more of them and connecting with them and eventually connecting up with a group of walk-ins that essentially doesn't exist anymore. You can go find it on the internet, but the woman, Liz Nelson, who founded the group was called We International, and the We stood for Walk-ins for Evolution. But she has since departed the physical, and so the group changed greatly and then essentially ceased activity for the most part. But it was a tremendously empowering group. To go and be with a number of other people, number one, whose primary focus was the same, that of awakening themselves and helping to awaken others. Because again, that urgency to change jobs or to change what you're doing towards service for humanity is exceptionally strong. It's not that it's not strong in certain other people. I definitely have known, non-walk-ins, so to speak, who have, as strong, if not stronger, an urge to service than I do. So again, this isn't to put walk-ins on that pedestal, but it is to say that it is magical to be in an energy that is that focused, in a group that is that focused in the same direction. And certainly there are walk-ins that I don't resonate with at all. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Their work, as they see it, does not resonate for me. So this doesn't mean, you know, magically all the things go away that we have as issues or even preferences. It's not even I have issue with all these people. It's simply that the ones that I don't resonate with, I don't resonate with. So there's no need for me to go spend time with them. And it's a great freedom that I give myself that I don't have to. That just because this person is similar to me in this way, that we're both walk-ins, that I have to participate actively all the time in that person's life. So thankfully, being a walk-in in that sense is not at all like being in prison. But it was a magical expander for me in my self-expression. And I am, well, a couple things I can tell you. The first two guests that I had, Leandra and BJ, I both met at the first walk-in conference I went to. My guest next week, Marilyn Harper, who, at least as far as I know, is still coming to join me next week, is now setting out to host a walk-in conference in the beginning of October. So we'll definitely be talking about that more next week. And indeed, that is one of the spurs for me to bring up this topic and talk about it, although it has come in as a question as well from some people out there in the listening audience. So that energy is coming back around, the impetus to reconnect with that. So it's been brought up. And I was speaking with some longtime friends of mine just last night about this whole thing of, oh, I'm going to go speak at this walk-in conference. And neither one of them had realized or would have put me in that category as a walk-in, because it's not something I go around and put on as a label. I'm a walk-in. Look at me. Look what I can do. But it is a label that has helped me personally move forward on my path more quickly. So let me come back around to that part of the topic here. That in having that aha of I am a walk-in, in many ways, it really just gave me an instantaneous, whew, I can let go of some of the struggle I've been in. And especially as I did connect with more people who may not have been walk-ins, all of them, but who understood the concept. And as I stepped more onto the path of, again, first from massage therapy, the path of healing, and then energy work, the path of taking that healing and expanding it far beyond just the physical, and then into channeling and expanding it, really the focus is on the spiritual, the divine. That was me walking this path of awakening into that service to humanity that I spoke of earlier as one of the symptoms of you might be a walk-in if. And being around those like-minded people, those like-hearted people, those like-directioned people is tremendously empowering in the sense of, wow, you know what? It's okay to be this way. There's not something wrong with me because I'm driven to focus on this. There's not something wrong with me because I'm driven to service, etc. Now, again, and this is not just true of walk-ins, that drive to be of service often gets in the way of people understanding that their true service is to be who they are. It's not their job description. And that's a topic for a whole show in and of itself. But it's an important topic, so I just want to touch it here. We're not here to do. It's not accidental that in English we are human beings. That's the term. And there's another concept that people seem to have that gets in the way. And this was such a beautiful thing when this came through me. And I honestly don't remember if it was in flow, like when I'm talking like this, or if it was in channel, and I really don't care. And that's this concept. Most people, if I ask them about this particular polarity, the doing polarity, they will put at the opposite end of that polarity being. Being and doing are the opposites of each other. So that means when you stop doing something, you cease to exist? No, it doesn't. We need to look at it differently. if we are to truly free ourselves as much as possible. If doing is the divine masculine energy, the expressive, that energy moving outward from us, then the opposite of it, the polarity of it, must be energy coming into us. That's not being, that is allowing or receiving. We are being every time and all the time that we're doing. We never cease to be just because we start to do. And again, in truth, we're always both doing and receiving. We are at both ends of the polarity at the same time. But that's what the polarity is. And so I just offer that out as another side note here, another side concept that can help to free up some of these things. Because it's almost like that concept of being and doing as the polarities, it's in many ways built in the concept of work that's been structured in the Industrial Revolution and the corporate world of, you know, we have work, which is what's important, and then we have time off, which is unimportant. We have doing, which is important, and then we have not doing, which is unimportant. And so I just want to toss a little bit of energy at that paradigm to help break it down here today a little bit, because that is such a damaging paradigm of, you know, we have our value only when we work. And in fact, that's, to me, is one of the primary things we are here to do, is claim a new space that we are not our doing. We are our being. And that's not non-doing. We are our being all the time. We are our divinity all the time. Even when we don't feel it, even when someone else looking at us wouldn't go, "You're divine right now," they'd go, "Wow, you're really pissed off," or "Wow, you're really acting childlike," or "Wow, you're really not listening to me." It doesn't matter. We're still divine. We're expressing through those patterns that are the human patterns, the limited patterns, the patterns of separation, but we're still divine even while we're doing that. And as our divinity, as our divine self, that's the point. We're down here doing "let's pretend." Now, that takes me back to what's the use of knowing whether I'm a walk-in or not? Well, it helps in multiple ways. The first and perhaps most important as far as I'm concerned is, again, just that freedom to be myself. Oh, okay, it makes sense. It's okay that I'm a square peg trying to fit into a triangular hole. Let's stop trying to fit in the triangular hole and find the square hole where I really fit, etc. The second way has to do with that idea of the metaphor I gave at the beginning of human beings being like the computer, and you change the energy source coming in, but the programs are still there. Now, again, here I have to stomp on another widely held, what I believe to be, misconception about the way things are here. That's one of my jobs, I know, is I'm a paradigm breaker. And it relates to the idea of karma. Well, the first piece of it that I feel is vastly untrue is the idea that karma is like punishment. We didn't get the lesson in the last lifetime, and so we're sent back here to fix it or do it, get the lesson in this lifetime. If I mistreated you in that lifetime, then eye for an eye sort of thing, you get the right to come back in this lifetime and mistreat me in the same way. I don't believe that that is anything at all related to what we're doing here, or related to what the energy of karma actually is. I personally believe that we as soul, when we're preparing to come down here and forget that we're divinity, we're sitting up there going, "Well, you know what? Three lifetimes ago when I was in Athens, I really had an interesting time exploring what it was like to be in this kind of relationship, in a love triangle. And so, you know, this lifetime, I think I want to explore that again, but I want to explore it from a different side. I want to be the odd man out. I want to be the one who is getting betrayed, etc., just to experience what that's like. And so I'm going to bring that into the programs, and I'm going to install that the same way I would install WordPerfect or Word or, Quicken or QuickBooks on the computer. I'm going to install that pattern, that program, into this lifetime. And I'm going to bring it in with me, and I'm going to, because I've got it in here with me, I'm going to see the world through that lens, and I'm going to create that situation in my life. I will draw it to me, because the program that I'm running is actually how I'm experiencing the world. It's kind of like if we lived inside the computer and we wouldn't go up to the computer to look at it, we were actually in there. The only things that we would see about the world are the things that were the programs that we had built into us. I think that analogy is pretty damn perfect in terms of how it works with us as humans. We have these programs that we installed by choice, not because we had to. We installed them by choice before we came into the body so that we could play with them while we were down here. It's kind of like you're packing for a trip and you've got 5 people in the car, 3 of them children. And so you go to the closet and you pull out the games that you think would be the most fun ones while you're in that car ride for 24 hours over the next 2 days before you get to your destination. Same thing. We pick those programs, we pick those games that we're going to play down here, and then we pack them in the car with us when we get ready to go on our trip. That's how I believe we come in here. Now, another way to talk about that is as our soul contract. Well, yeah, we also go, hey, wasn't it great back in Athens 3 lifetimes ago when we did that? Would you like to come and play those other parts with me? And your friend's souls go, yeah, let's go do it. And we'll switch the roles around this time. So I get to be the guy and you were the girl last time. So let's switch that around. And, you know, I was the one who was the betrayer last time, so this time I get to be betrayed. Cool, let's do it. And that's, I believe, how we make these choices to come down here and create the lives that we're living. But unfortunately, we get here and then we've forgotten that we made those choices and we go into the victimhood to those patterns. But what we're all doing, this whole thing, all of exposing the masters within is about remembering that we're the masters, we're the creators, we're the choosers. We set this all up. And so, back to how it's useful to know your walk-in. Well, some have said, and again, this may be in a couple of these books that I will mention here in a moment. Some have said that when you come in as a walk-in, you take on the other person's karma. Well, if that is meant as you take on, you have to go through their suffering as punishment for what they did wrong in the other lifetimes or what they didn't learn, then that's just not a good thing. Not a useful thing, not a beneficial thing whatsoever. Because then you're going in and you have to suffer because you chose this particular body to step into as a walk-in soul. However, if you understand it just as these are patterns, they're patterns to be worked through, to be empowered out of, to empower yourself out of these patterns of limitation, is going to be the job whether you're a walk-in or not. That's what you're here to do. Beyond the first level of our job here, our work as souls is just to experience things. Beyond that, it is to remember our divinity. That's that next level. And so there it is. You have a set of patterns that may seem more alien. Again, you walk in and suddenly you look around you and go, huh, none of this looks familiar. Who are these people? Why am I here? What the heck is going on? Where is home? Because this doesn't seem to be it. And so again, that goes back to that idea that I talked about earlier, that walk-ins have this urgency to get forward with things. A lot of that urgency is we come in and go, wow, I really don't fit. And the feeling of not fitting is a lot stronger than it is for most people. Because when they came in, well, these are the patterns they chose, and then they forgot they were divine at all. Well, we remember a little more of our divinity, perhaps not in a way we can name consciously, and therefore the urge to get back to it is there, and therefore we feel the limitations of those karmic patterns, of those chosen soul patterns, more quickly, more fully, and they chafe more. And, you know, it's like we're getting that rash from the material being too rough, and so we need to change the shirt quickly. So, anyway, that's a lot on walk-ins, and that's kind of the biggest pieces that I wanted to touch in upon in general. Now, there are a couple of other concepts, and some of the things, those questions you might be a walk-in if, would also apply to another term that are a couple of terms that relate to a similar kind of concept, which perhaps, again, I can do a show on this concept at another time. And that's the concept that I've heard variously, but the two that make the most sense to me or feel the best are called soul braids. Okay. They are soul braids and composite souls. And what a soul braid is, or a composite soul is an energy where there's always a primary soul, but for instance, say you're dealing with a particular issue, and it comes up that you'd like some help with that. So you can reach up through the soul level and have another energy come in, and that you can have that energy, that other soul energy, not the whole soul typically, but a part of another soul energy come in, and it's almost like upgrading some of those programs. This soul essence is very good at singing, so you bring that in, and then your singing expands. Now, certainly that's not not necessarily that simple, and I'm not going to go into it all here, but that is a way that you can feel as alien as a water walk-in might, and perhaps even more alien because now you've got two or three or four different souls all inhabiting the same body, or portions of the souls inhabiting the same body. And so, anyway, that's that term. I want to also make specific here that this is not possession. This is not a soul or energy taking over someone else. Neither one of these, the walk-in nor the soul braid or composite, they're not another soul coming in without permission. Now, at the highest levels, even possession, as far as I'm concerned, is not that way, but that's a topic for another show. But at the experiential level, possession feels like another soul coming in and trying to take over. But that's not the case with a walk-in or with the soul braid or soul composite. There's just the energy of not feeling like you fit in, and not feeling like you're the same as you used to be. Let me mention a couple of resources that you might go to if you're interested in knowing further about this. By all means, you can certainly contact me, email me, call me. I'm certainly happy to do sessions on this. I do have the capacity, either in channeling or not in channeling, to give people a confirmation or yes or no on whether they are walk-ins. Again, it's up to you ultimately to know if you are. But I've got a couple things to bring up, and then I actually have a call that has come in that I would like to take here, and then we will get to a little bit of channeling here as well. So a couple of the earliest places where the concept of walk-ins was brought up, one was I believe it was Jane Roberts who did some books related around Seth Speaks, and she channeled a being called Seth. And I have not read these books, but I know that information is out there. Another place, and this is where I came across it, after I found the concept, these books came into my lap, a couple of books by a writer named Ruth Montgomery, who may have actually coined the term walk-in, but the books are Strangers Among Us and Threshold to Tomorrow. And she was a very interesting woman. She was actually a newspaper reporter, and she worked in Washington, D.C., and so she covered a lot of politics and the international and the power and that sort of thing. But then she made contact with this group of guides, and she ended up, I don't think she would necessarily call it channeling. I think she would maybe talk about it more like taking dictation. But she was given information that she would then write down, and she put forth a number of books on a lot of topics. But those two, Strangers Among Us and Threshold to Tomorrow, are both about walk-ins. And that's one of the places where walk-ins were put on a pedestal, the idea that they're here to come save us, etc. And another piece of it is that in the examples that she gave, and Threshold to Tomorrow gives a number of examples about specific walk-ins that she knew who were doing this great work. But it presents it essentially like, well, they walked in and immediately started doing that great work. Well, in the walk-ins I've known, that's not how it works. The first, you have to deal with the programs that are there, that, again, other people would call that karma, from the last lifetime, and you have to deal with the things that you need to move so that you can step forth and do the exposing yourself as the master you are. So again, take that with a grain of salt. Another book is another colleague and friend of mine, Juel, and that's J-U-E-L-L-E, has written a book called The Walk-In, about her walk-in experience, which is a wonderful, wonderful book. At some point down the line, she will also be another guest of mine, and that's another person that I walked into a walk-in conference and connected with in that way. Another person that you might know the name of, if you've been reading in the metaphysical field for a while, is Danyon Brinkley. Now, one of his books is Saved by the Light, and then there's a number of others related to that about his near-death experience. But he is the walk-in. And let me talk a bit there, actually, bringing up the concept of near-death experiences. One of the most common ways for walk-in experiences to occur is through an extremely tumultuous circumstance. For me personally, I had a walk-in very early, age 3. Obviously, I was not aware of this until much later, but I had a walk-in at age 3 after being molested. I had another walk-in in my 20s. Essentially, interesting that I brought up the love triangle as the piece when I was giving a specific example of the karma and bringing something forward in this life, because it was kind of a love triangle that triggered that, and it was the betrayal of these two other people that I thought were very, very close to me. And not even that they got together, but that they were lying to me about it and planned to lie to me for months. That created such an emotional trauma in me that I went out for this walk, found my way, and this is not to be dramatic, but literally found my way walking and ended up in a cemetery, sat down in a cemetery, and when I walked out, I was not the same person. Now, I don't believe that the walk-in was hanging out in the cemetery from one of those bodies that was there. That just happened to be where I ended up, but adds a little extra fun to the story. But a near-death experience is a common way for walk-ins to occur, because there's nothing more traumatic than taking the body to that edge of death. And since the soul, literally, that was inhabiting the body has left it or is in the process of leaving it, well, it's easy for another soul to slip in. So that's an important piece here, that's why it happens with the tumult of physical near-death experience or emotional tumult, or, you know, someone is just going through an extremely, extremely stressful time and their energy field gets up in an uproar. Well, it's easier to find your way through all the layers to get the old soul out and the new soul to come in those circumstances. So that's another thing that can come into the picture here. And on one last note about these kinds of resources, and there certainly are far more out there, and you can go do your own research on it. I believe it's still on. I think I saw a commercial for it not that long ago that there was going to be a new season of this show starting. And I can't say I particularly watch it, but there is a show on one of the cable networks called Drop Dead Diva. And it is about a walk-in. It's about someone who was, you know, gorgeous, model, beautiful, who literally drops dead. She's the diva of the title, and she finds herself in someone else's body. A co-worker of the man she was in love with, etc., who happens to be a lawyer. But it's interesting that it has permeated consciousness enough that it's out there in that form on your cable network. So that's the energy of walk-ins. I'm going to see if Tom is still online too here from Tennessee. And if not, if he is, we'll talk to Tom for a minute. So, Doug, is Tom still there?
Hello?
Tom. Hi there. Hey, this is John. Can you hear me?
John.
Good, good. Welcome to the show. What would you like to bring to the show today?
Hey, well, very good, John. Thank you. Some interesting conversations you got going on there. I just wanted to see if I could chime in there, but it looks like you might be a little short on time here, so...
Well, actually, we have a little extra time, so if you have a couple of things you'd like to say, go right ahead.
Well, you know, Just a little collaboration. It's always nice to go around on this stuff. I enjoy it. You don't always get to share with with text on a screen. You know, you can't get
right.
You can't get the feedback and the collaboration. But anyway, no, a lot of things going on there. But a few things you said a little while back, one about the human being and the human doing, and about the karma, I could touch on here for a second to add through here. That's all right.
Sure.
I've done a great deal of work on this myself in understanding this matrix of illusion, right?
Uh-huh.
What's asking the big question of what's really going on here? And to solve this mystery myself. And it's very, very bizarre. It's like the matrix. You don't bend the spoon with your mind. You bend the spoon by bending your mind. It's everything that you don't think it is, and it's not, and it's not what you think it is. that kind of way, that in the direction that the world and the earth and where we're moving to, that everything we know and have been taught and trained and indoctrinated to think is all wrong. So that presents a big problem in people's minds of what to do, what is going on here. And your life is a contract with yourself, like you were saying. The mm-hmm. matrix of illusion was set up on purpose, intentionally designed to
Absolutely.
Get you and me to contract with the matrix so that you and me could not fulfill that individual contract with ourselves, to keep us from that awakening, enlightening, that remembering of who we were and are. So, in other words, to be a human being, we're busy in the matrix being human doings, focused on physical objects outside of ourselves, not believing our intuition of what we're made to be ridiculed for thinking on our own. They don't want anyone to think. They'll make a statue of a great thinker that you can go see somewhere that say, oh, 500 years ago, he was a great thinker. But they don't want you and me to think. So you might figure some things out, and they don't want that. But anyway, the issue of sovereignty and the human beingness, that's why they killed all the shamans and the indigenous people off, because they had it right. And they made the cowboys the heroes with the guns and stuff.
Well, let me ask you a question, Tom.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. Because what I'm hearing in your perspective, there's a degree to me to which it feels like, even though you're saying that we don't have the sovereignty, that we don't have the choice because of what has been presented to us, I'm also hearing underneath that you do believe that ultimately we do, and that's what we're responsible to do down here. So, because there is some almost what I would call victimhood in what I'm hearing from you, that others are doing this to us. I personally believe that our soul contract includes the clause, if you will, that we're actually doing this to ourselves. We are forgetting by our own choice, and that's built into the contract as well. It's not that we come down here to be victimized by others who stop us from remembering who we are. Does that make sense to you? And is that...
I totally agree with you. It's very complex.
Okay, good. It is. It is very complex.
And you can't, like I say, in a two-minute conversation, you can't sort this out. It's too much. But yes,
absolutely.
You're right. And let me jump to the next thing about the karma, is that it's a responsibility that I'm not hearing a lot of people understanding out here. When I figured this out, I said, holy smokes, I see what's going on. And mm-hmm. No, there's no victims. There's only volunteers. We're
absolutely
each,
good.
We're
good,
each
good.
Learning how to be responsible for the energy output that we've brought with us, and so the karma is the actual feelings that's coming up out of your electromagnetic body battery that we're all responsible for. Every move you make, every breath you take, and we're sliding this by living in the matrix of the human doing process, ignoring the responsibility for what's coming up out of us, not paying attention. So this is what's coming up and out now in our history, and each of us is the eons of time of the unexpressed emotional feelings that never got to come out. And this is what
absolutely.
And so there comes a point that we must let go of the matrix of illusion because it is a lie. And this is where people get twisted in their minds, is because they feel they have to do stuff. You gotta do a job. You gotta do this. You got a laundry list of a million things you gotta do. And who says you gotta do anything?
Exactly.
And so,
I can absolutely appreciate that. But one of the things then that I feel in working with the people I've worked with that becomes an issue is, if they put it in that context of this is all an illusion, it actually becomes, in many cases, almost self-defeating, because then they're lost entirely and don't know what to do. And so for me, the paradox of this, one of the major paradoxes, is the way out is actually through. In other words, the more we go into feeling what, again, many would call the illusion, the more we feel this moment as fully as possible, the more we free ourselves from it. Because exactly. When we stop suppressing and get ourselves into the moment, we move that flow forward. We move ourselves into that place of taking the responsibility and saying, this is what I'm feeling. And it's my feeling. This exactly. circumstance that looks like it's outside of me may have triggered it, but this is my feeling and I'm responsible for it. That's where freedom lies. And so for me, I'm very cautious and very wary of using the term illusion, even though I understand where it comes from, because when we do that, for a lot of people, that takes them further away from the idea of that responsibility to feel it and know that it's ours, and it's our choice whether we keep feeling it, keep limiting ourselves with it, or whether we choose to move through it.
Well, I understand, and however, in order to know what to do about something, you have to know what you're dealing with.
Otherwise, absolutely, and I'm not suggesting other than that,
yeah.
but that's my right. point. You know, the label of it as illusion can actually get in the way of the full understanding, because it takes people out of the idea that, well, it takes them in many cases into the experience that this that I'm experiencing isn't real, and therefore I don't know what to do. Whereas when the focus is on the experience, then it becomes, well, it's not the whole truth. This is the experience of this moment.
I totally appreciate that, and it's a tough one. It's not a five-minute
yes.
conversation.
No, it's not. No, it's
in
not.
Other words, it is an illusion, and people must know and recognize it for what it is, and nobody's explaining it out here. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, Tom, is, you know, I do appreciate the call, and you're right. That topic is much longer than just 10 minutes here. So, I am feeling the need to get on with the channeling here and the other pieces of the show.
But I
thank you very much for your call and for bringing, you know, up what you brought up here, because, you know, I definitely believe these are very important things, as you say, to talk about that many people are not. And, definitely, that's where I'd like to go. So, thank you so much.
Could I say something about the karma?
One last thought, sure.
Okay, yeah. The karma is just so people could know. This solves the problem. The everybody is waiting for the world to fall and blaming. They did this to us, this victimhood you're talking about. They did that, they did this, they're doing this to us. Well, if we're all one, then there is no separation, and you are them and they are us. So it's a responsibility, like you were saying, that we all created the world that we're all complaining about, that we find that we're complicit in the crimes against humanity. And
absolutely,
it's each of us, this responsibility to heal the feelings and neutralize the feelings coming up out of your electromagnetic body battery that you're feeling right then and there. That is the karma. That's the feelings that went suppressed. If someone, say, makes you mad or does something to you, and that doesn't resonate with you, and it upsets you, then that is the karma. The feelings coming out of us that the individual caused is not the individual that... It's the feelings, not the
personal. See, that's where I would actually slightly disagree with you. I don't believe that the karma itself is the feelings. I believe the karma is the patterns of which feelings get triggered under which circumstance. And that's what I was talking about when I brought up the karma as the programs. The whole ball of wax relationship-wise, that the emotions as they come up, the feelings as they come up, allow us to connect with those patterns to help shift them by taking responsibility and stepping out of the victimhood.
That's what went unexpressed for eons of time, is because nobody can express themselves, their authenticity, and tell the truth because it got stuffed. And that's what you're seeing come up in the news now.
Absolutely, and I'm with you entirely. And I do need to close out here now, Tom.
Okay.
So again, thank you so much.
And I'll check back with you, John. You're doing a great job. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
And you also. Okay. Here.
All right. So, well, very good. And those topics are extremely important, and the discussion will continue down the line about responsibility, et cetera. So, well, right now I have one piece that I promised to do when I was in Springfield doing my show on the road a couple weeks ago, and then I forgot to take these with me, and that's the drawing. And this is the May drawing. Whoever I pull out of here is going to get themselves an hour-long session or the two-session choice, et cetera. So let me just go in here, stir these up a bit, and if you're interested, anyone who's out there listening, send me an email, give me some feedback on the show, suggest questions or topics you'd like me to talk about, suggest guests, although the guest list is probably about 2 years long at this point before they might get on. Suggest guests. Every time you do that, at least once per week, you get added in, or you can get added in once per week. And let's see. We have a winner here. Let me open this up. And it is Les Greenleaf. I don't know if you're listening, Les. If you are, contact me, but I will get a hold of you with an email or a phone call here in the next, within the day. So anyway, congratulations on that. But I will do a drawing at the end of each month from all those who have sent in comments or feedback on the show, etc. So I do want to step in and see what the higher beings, the masters, would have to offer us today in closing. That'll be the last part of the show. So that means it's transformation time. So as you are, wherever you are listening to this, allow your breathing to deepen. And while you do that, I will do the toning. The energies are all set. The patterns are all set to allow this to take place. And whoever is going to join us will be here shortly. Hello, dear ones. This is Sekhmet, come to be with you today. And we would talk briefly with you about this moment that you are in, because this is the only moment that matters. You have heard it said, multiple ways, multiple forms, multiple truths, multiple teachers, to be in the moment. To be in the moment is to feel the moment. Most of you are spending most of your time thinking the moment. And that is all right, because that is what you have been doing. That has been the pattern. That has been the program. But what you are here to do, as you claim this aspect of your path, which is the reawakening of yourself as divinity, as you claim this aspect of your path, that is the movement individually and collectively to ascend this planet, to transform the basic experience here into one of empowerment, allowing yourself to own this moment, to claim it, to know it is entirely your creation, co-created with your co-conspirators, with those others that you have chosen to bring into your life for good experience, if you will, for pleasurable experience, or for bad experience or negative experience. They are one and the same. They are experience. And when you stop fighting with the negative experience, when you stop resisting it, and again, you've probably heard this, what you resist persists. That's what it means. As long as you're fighting with it, as long as you are denying with it, as long as you are trying to not experience what it is you're experiencing, as long as you are denying the reality of this moment in your life, you are holding on to that pain. You are holding on to that negativity. You are holding on to that. And you are stuck with it. And so you feel stuck with it. And so it does not transform the way that you would like it to. And even on the flip side, the positive polarity that you are all chasing, the feeling good. Well, there's nothing wrong with feeling good. But when you hold on to it, when you get, for instance, like the one who believes in the good old days, everything was better when I was the star or when I was the cheerleader in high school. Everything was better when I was doing this or I was doing that. There is no better in the past. There is only now. And if you're focused on the past for the negative, because you're claiming your victimhood, or even the positive, because you're claiming your victory, you're not being present now. And that is getting in the way of your empowerment. Empowerment is not victory over yourself or anyone else or your circumstances. Empowerment is claiming your knowing that this moment you created, and that if there is anything in this moment you don't like, you can choose to create something else in the next moment, or the moment after that, or the moment after that. It is the knowing that that choice is yours in every moment. And in that knowing, the taking of the responsibility to make choices. The taking of the responsibility to create, to manifest, to bring forth the reality of your choice. Rather than to simply suffer through, or shall we say, celebrate only the past. By bringing your focus to now, by choosing to experience rather than to suppress. No matter what it is you're feeling, no matter how horribly you're feeling, if you bring your choice into the moment and acknowledge the truth and claim the truth that as you choose to experience it, it must transform. It must change. And it will automatically as you stop resisting it. then you are moving forward in service to yourself, in service to this higher truth, in service to this higher pattern. So, take a breath and let yourself feel whatever you're feeling right now, both emotionally and physically. And let whatever is going on in your thoughts go on in your thoughts. It is not about resisting your thoughts. It is not about stopping having a mental experience. The mental isn't wrong. It's just not in charge. Simply let yourself breathe in and acknowledge that truth for yourself. I am experiencing this. As I experience this, it transforms. And breathe. And it is that simple. And it will take time to get through it all. It will take linear time and ongoing choice. It is not about making the choice once to be in the moment. It is making the choice in every moment to be in the moment. But the more you practice, the more automatic it becomes. And the more you are present, the more you release that which has been piling up inside of you that you suppressed. And the more you claim this, the more you free yourself from it. And so we would at this moment give you a little extra power pack, a little extra energy, a little extra burst of divine essence to support you in this claiming of your moment, your manifested moment. So focus through your feet into the earth. Claim your connection there. Know her presence with you and in you. Breathe that up. And open your crown and open to whatever you know divinity to be. And allow that presence to flow into you and through you. And feel that support and power. And now this is the most important piece. Open your heart and let your own divinity and power up and out. Envision a light like the sun in your heart and expand it, grow it, feed that fire that is your divinity until it engulfs your heart, until it unfolds and experience it as the entirety of your physical body, and allow it to expand further until it encompasses your entire energy field. And breathe that in this moment. That is your truth eternal. You are divinity in this moment. You are in body, which means you are supported by Mother Earth. You are divinity, which means you are connected to the divinity that is the all coming into you. That is the truth underlying everything else. As you claim that, you burn off the other more quickly. You shed it more fully. And you own your empowerment in expression more completely. So breathe that in. We will offer a bit of sounding to help anchor it for each one of you, to help it to integrate that much more into your energy field. Just allow yourselves to breathe with this. Very good, children. Very good, dear, empowered beings of light. Divine blessings in this universe and on this planet. Know that you are loved. And know that when you would claim the energy to propel you forward, that we are available to support you in that way. Much love. Namaste. Okay. Well, for any of you who do not know Sekhmet is one of the Egyptian goddesses, known as actually a goddess of war, but she's a force of nature to be reckoned with. So anyway, I do want to mention one last thing here. I mentioned earlier that there would be this conference of walk-ins, and it's not just for walk-ins. It's for family and friends of walk-ins. If you're attracted to the term walk-in, or if soul transformation is a piece for you, then this conference might be something that would serve you. The conference will be in Phoenix, Arizona, October 7th through the 9th. It's called Walk-ins Welcome. And to find more information on it, you might be able to just Google that. I could read out the the website address, but definitely that'll be done next week. If you'd like the information, send me an email and I will send you the link. That would be easier than me trying to spell it out, because it's not all words that are just natural English words. There's a name in there that. Anyway, so send me an email if you're interested, and I'll get that information to you through a link. Well, I think that's bringing us about to a close here. So, again, I want to thank you all for joining me to co-create this time here together. Doug, go ahead and start the chimes. I can't create this without you, and let me know what you think. As I said earlier, slip me an email, give me a call, give me your feedback. Give me those topic suggestions, guest suggestions, etc. I will be back next week, same time, same place, with my special guest, Marilyn Harper, who is the one hosting that conference. I hope you're going to join me again out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show will go. So I hope you go on out there and expose yourselves a little more this week, feeling more free to be in your empowerment, to be in your mastery. Much love. I hope the God and Goddess that you know bless you abundantly. Namaste.